puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Gordon Goldsborough is here with Abandoned Manitoba. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
So what are we discussing this week?
One of my friends recently received a brochure from his Member of Parliament on a topic we've been hearing about these days quite frequently regarding shipping capacity from Hudson Bay. Now, Manitoba is the only province with a port there, and I think it's therefore well positioned for further development. You know what? Prime Minister Carney has described as a nation-building project. Some, however, have promoted the idea of building a second seaport in Manitoba. Longtime listeners will remember that we've discussed that site before. It's called Port Nelson.
So for those who might have missed our previous conversations on the topic, tell us about Port Nelson.
Well, back in 1912, the federal government chose Hudson Bay as the terminus of the Hudson Bay Railway that ran from the Paw to the shore of Hudson Bay. And they decided to build a seaport. Now, they weighed the various options and they selected the mouth of the Nelson River as the site for that seaport. They began constructing what was expected to become a bustling commercial port. Hundreds of workers erected a small village of buildings and they laid a narrow gauge railway to move construction materials around the site. Supplies came by sea from eastern Canada, including a massive dredge intended to build an artificial island a half a mile offshore in the bay. That island would be occupied by a grain terminal where prairie grain, delivered by rail, would be stored until ocean vessels arrived to carry it abroad. A 17-span steel trestle bridge was built, and it connected the artificial island to the mainland. However, in 1914, the outbreak of the First World War brought progress to a halt. The funding was diverted to the war effort, and many workers left to enlist. By 1917, the project was mothballed with the expectation that construction would resume once peace was restored.
And did it resume?
No, it didn't, in a word. In the 1920s, the government brought in a shipping expert to reassess the project. His conclusion was clear. Port Nelson was not the best location for a Hudson Bay seaport. Instead, he recommended the mouth of the Churchill River. So, work at Port Nelson was abandoned. And by early 1929, a railway line to the present-day Port of Churchill was completed. Port Nelson, well, it soon faded from public memory, at least until recently, when some people began suggesting that it become Manitoba's second seaport. You know, that political pamphlet that I mentioned earlier makes it sound easy. It describes Port Nelson as a, quote, world-class multimodal port that can operate year-round with proper icebreaker support. But it provides no specifics on how the development might occur. You know, what engineering work would have to be done to achieve this goal? As longtime listeners know, I have visited the mouth of the Nelson River three times. I've done research on the site. I've written books. I've talked on the radio about it. And I feel that I have a pretty good sense of both the history and the potential of Port Nelson. To be fair, in my evaluation, I'd like to weigh the pros and the cons of revisiting the site as a possible seaport on Hudson Bay.
So let's talk about the pros and cons. What are the pros?
Well, in my view, Port Nelson has at least one major advantage. The existing railway line to Churchill crosses extensive permafrost, which limits both the speed of the trains that travel over it and the weight of the rail cars that are pulled along. With global climate change, the thawing of permafrost will further jeopardize that route. By contrast, before Port Nelson was abandoned in 1917, a right-of-way had already been built to the river mouth. If you zoom in on Google Earth today, you can still trace that route. It's laid mostly on solid rock rather than permafrost. So a line to Port Nelson could therefore accommodate things like heavy hopper cars, container carriers, and more, with fewer restrictions than the Churchill line. Port Nelson also lies closer to the Paw, which would presumably make rail shipping somewhat cheaper than to Churchill. Yet that advantage might be offset somewhat by the longer distance that ocean vessels might travel to reach Port Nelson, especially if icebreakers were required to keep the route open in winter.
So those were the pros. What about the cons?
Well, so although the right-of-way to Port Nelson remains largely intact, I don't think the port's existing infrastructure can be salvaged for future development. When I visited the site for the third time in 2023, I found that railway trestle bridge completely rotten. I mean, I walked over it, my feet were sinking into the wooden ties, and it's literally falling apart. The trestles themselves are tipping and will fall into Hudson Bay in the near future. It would, I think, have to be replaced in its entirety. More significantly, I saw how the seawall protecting that artificial island had deteriorated dramatically in just a few years. Pieces of the wooden structure had washed up on the opposite bank of the Nelson River, while others had drifted down the Hudson Bay coast, even appearing as far as Fort Severn. Without its seawall, I suspect the island will soon erode away entirely. And yet the single greatest obstacle to a development at Port Nelson, in my view, is not the need for icebreaking to allow winter access, despite what that political brochure seems to suggest. The real issue is dredging. The mouth of the Nelson River is shallow. Even during construction back in 1912, engineers knew the artificial island, which again is a half mile from the shoreline, would only be accessible at high tide, and only with a dredged channel out to deep water far offshore. And that's why a dredge was brought to the site from the outset. When I visited in 2022, the pilot of the boat that brought me said that the water around the artificial island was only about 14 feet deep, and that was at high tide. That's far too shallow for modern cargo ships. The unavoidable conclusion is that any viable port would have to be built miles offshore in Hudson Bay, or a vast amount of money would have to be spent dredging. It's technically possible, I'm sure, with enough money, but is that really the best use of limited resources?
You tell us. Where do you fall on this debate?
Well, I think listeners will get the gist of it. Given the substantial investment that has already been made in the Port of Churchill, you know, it's got rail support, it's got air access, you know, we might even have someday a road to Churchill. It's got an established community for support. It makes more sense to concentrate new resources there. And dividing them between two sites risks leaving neither one with what it needs to be successful. The judgment reached over a century ago about Port Nelson, you know, that it's not a suitable location for a seaport, remains just as valid today, and maybe even more so in the era of modern shipping. Those who would argue otherwise, I believe, are overlooking the lessons of history.
Well, thanks for taking us through this debate and sharing kind of both perspectives. Gordon, what's up for next week?
Well, I'm going to be sharing updates on several stories we've covered in past conversations. One of them dates back 2 months ago when I featured a 1905 photo album from the village of Wascata that I had purchased from a seller in the United States. Within minutes of our broadcast, new information came to light about the family who originally owned that collection. So we're going to discuss that story next week, as well as donuts and demolition.
Quite the combination. Thank you, Gordon.
We'll talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons